Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 21 to chapter 6 and verse 4. This is page 1176 in the Church Bible. Ephesians 5 from verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I'm going to begin with a quote, and it goes like this. I see no hope for the future of our people if they are dependent on the frivolous youth of today. For certainly all youth are reckless beyond words. When I was young, we were taught to be discreet and respectful of elders, but the present youth are exceedingly disrespectful and impatient of restraint. Well, that was written over 2,500 years ago. You thought it was written recently. Well, actually, the language is slightly archaic. It was probably translated 100 years ago. But anyway, there we go. Early poet, Greek poet, Hesiod, who lived around the time of Homer. And people, I think, of every age and culture have so often felt despair when they have considered the behavior of their young people. And it's interesting, when you come to the Bible, you never have that sense of despair when thinking about children and young people. God's word never gives up hope when it comes to our children. It will teach children how to behave, and that's what we'll be thinking about today. But it doesn't despair, as Hesiod does in that quote. Rather, it speaks about children with dignity, and as equal to adults. Just look at how this section begins. That's why we started in chapter 5 and verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. All the members of the household are being addressed in these verses, and they're all to submit to one another. And that sense of mutual submission was unheard of in those times in the Roman world. Generally, children were looked down upon and ill-treated. And if you were a child in the Roman world or the Greek world, you were not given dignity. You were not listened to. You were expected simply to do what you were told. And so often you were neglected. The Bible stands in stark contrast in its attitude to all people. Now, when it says submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, it doesn't mean that everyone has the same authority over others. There are different roles. That's very obvious. But in telling children to obey their parents, God does not diminish a child's dignity. Parents, as well as husbands, and we'll see later, masters, They are to lead, but not as those who are superior or like a dictator. Because all of our relating with one another is to be out of reverence for Christ. Not out of fear of that person, not because of our weakness, not because of cultural pressure. The great motive, the great reason for this mutual submission is reverence for Christ. Now, hopefully we'll see more of what that means in practice in the coming weeks. And this fits the wider context of the Bible, because the wider context of the Bible is that each human being has been made in the image of God. And that immediately gives each person dignity and equality. Each person made in the image of God is a representative of God. Each person has a relationship with God. Might not be a good relationship, but they're made to relate to God. Each person is given a role of serving God. God's image is on them. They are reflecting something of God. They have dignity. And so there's to be this mutual submission one to the other. So whatever someone's role in society or in the home or in church, in terms of their equality before God, that is undiminished. And this is actually what underlies true workable ethics. And actually it's why the world ends up becoming so imbalanced in the way it treats different people, different groups. And so in trying to protect one group, the world undermines another. And that leads to a backlash, and that leads to polarization. We see it so clearly in our own culture. The Bible guards against this. The Bible alone, I think, gives a truly workable ethic. And it starts with this. All have a God-given dignity. That's where you start. If you don't begin with that, you can never have true equality. Everyone has a God-given dignity. Then secondly, all have a role of authority / submission. They have responsibility either to lead or to follow in various contexts. And then thirdly, that role is to be done with mutual submission out of reverence for Christ. And it seems to me those three points alone give true balance and a truly workable ethic. Okay, enough on that. Let's get down to what it says, particularly about children. Today, it's about children obeying their parents. Next week, it's about the parents, particularly the fathers, not to exasperate their children, but to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. 3 points from verses 1-3. Firstly, obey your parents for the right reasons. Obey your parents for the right reasons. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The verse ends with that phrase, for this is right. There's a rightness about children obeying their parents. And that's fairly obvious and actually necessary, because children need to obey their parents for their own good. And this is obvious to any culture, to any society. How else can parents protect their children from danger if their children won't obey? Be it safety on the roads or safety online, anyone can see that children need to obey. Their parents have greater wisdom, their parents have greater strength, their parents actually care for their children. Those children need to obey if they're to be kept safe from danger. And how can parents raise their children, as verse 4 will tell them to do, if those children won't listen and won't do what they need to do? Be it their bedtime or at mealtimes, be it helping around the home or doing homework, be it learning how to behave, how to speak, how to respect others, children need to obey. It is right. It's self-evident. I don't really need to expand on that. But these verses give further reasons. Obey your parents for the right reasons, not simply because it's right. Verses 2 and 3 give another reason. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Honoring your parents is one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, verse 2. It's part of God's unchanging moral law. And it comes with the promise of blessing. When God gave that law in Exodus chapter 20, it wasn't that this was the first time children had to honor their parents. This was always the case. The Ten Commandments are abiding commands that summarize God's moral law. But it came with a promise to the people of Israel, to whom those Ten Commandments were given through Moses. And if they obeyed and honored their parents, they would live long in the land that God was giving them. Now, Paul, as he quotes this command, he ends it with honor your father and mother, but he then does talk about enjoying long life on the earth. He's applying that command that was given initially to the people of Israel and the specifics of the command, and applies it more widely. You will live long on the earth. And people have debated this. Does this mean that an obedient child is going to become an octogenarian or even live to 100? I don't think so. It's not a promise to every individual, but it's a promise to the community. If you go back to Exodus and look at the Hebrew, you'll see that the command is to the individual, you singular, honor your father and mother. But then the promise is to you plural. In other words, as the individual child, as individual homes have obedient children, so you plural, you as a community, will be blessed and will live long in the land that the Lord is giving you. There's a blessing to the whole community when children are obedient. Be it the wider family, be it your school, be it your neighborhood, a child who has learned to obey is a blessing. You ask any teacher, who are the children who are a good influence in your school? Who are the ones who are not disruptive but are helpful? It's those who've learned to obey. Now, of course, we know there are children with special needs. Children are different. But nonetheless, as those children learn to obey, they have their role in encouraging and helping others. And a whole community is blessed when its children have learned to obey. And that starts in the home. So we've seen two reasons. It's simply right. It's obvious children should obey their parents. It's one of the Ten Commandments, and there's that promise of blessing to the community. And yet the Bible gives an even higher reason. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, what does this mean? Well, I think verse 21 of chapter 5 helps us to understand. There we read, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's a similar meaning. Out of reverence for Christ. Children to obey their parents as if they are serving the Lord. They're to obey their parents because they want to please God. The parallel passage, if you want to turn over to Colossians, just a few pages on. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Part of your spiritual worship as a child is to obey your parents. It was similar, as we read, about wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. It'll be similar when we think of masters and slaves. Slaves were to serve and obey as if to the Lord. This is the principle. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Submit out of reverence for Christ. So when you're told to tidy your room, or when you're told to come for dinner, or when you're told to go to bed, and you don't want to do it, you're thinking, hang on, part of my worship for God is to obey my parents at this point and at every point. You see, ultimately, we obey our parents because this reflects our attitude to God. And this is such an important point. I've made this point in years gone by, but it made such an impression on me. We had visiting family with us many years ago, and I think Danny was just a little baby or toddler. Palmer Robertson, some of you will know that name. He's written several commentaries, and he was on sabbatical. I was still serving at Woody Road, and he was coming along to the church there on his sabbatical here in Oxford. We invited him round, and I always remember their oldest son, I can't remember what he did, but his father said, no, you need to obey. And then his father said, the reason you need to obey is because when you learn to obey me, you will learn to obey God. And it was such a telling moment, such a simple point, but such an important one. Ultimately, we obey our parents because it will reflect our attitude to God. As a child learns to obey his or her parent, it will help them to learn to obey God. And more than that, it helps them to know God better. A little child is learning about God. And their parents are that authority figure, but also that loving figure in their lives. How the child, the little child, depends on their parents. And as the little child learns to respect the authority and know and receive the love and the goodness that their parents give them, that child is learning something about God. However imperfectly the parent behaves, the child is learning something about God. Just as marriage was given so that you can know God better, so the parent-child relationship has been given so that you can know God better. And this is the ultimate reason, the highest reason, why children should obey their parents. Because they're learning to obey God in the process. And if you grasp just one thing today, grasp that. This is so important. Children, obey your parents for the right reason. It's part of your worship to God. It's part of you coming to know God. That's our first heading. Children, obey your parents for the right reasons. Secondly, obey your parents as a child, honor them for life. Obey your parents as a child, honor them for life. Children are being addressed here. And notice in passing that the expectation was that the children would be in church. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus, and it would have been read to the whole church, as all his letters and Peter's letters and so on would have been read to the gathered congregation. And the expectation was that the children would be there, week in, week out. And at this point, the children prick up their ears. Ah, the Apostle Paul is saying something to us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. They would have been there. Now, this word for children refers to offspring. It emphasizes the parent-child relationship, degree of dependence. Occasionally, it is used of adult children, like in the parable of the prodigal son. The father addresses the older son as child. But the context here is of young children, of children who are still under their parents' roof, of those who are still being raised. So look at verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, same word. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is referring to those who are still being brought up. This is a really important point. Because at what point do you not have to obey your parents? At what point are you no longer under their authority? Think for a moment of what happens when someone marries. Look back, chapter 5 and verse 31. This is a quote from Genesis 2, verse 24. It says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." That is the key verse on marriage in the Bible. It says a huge amount. I'm not going to open it all up again, which I did a few months ago. But it talks about a person leaving their parents in order to marry. That word leave is important. They're no longer under their parental authority. They start a new family, a new unit. And it's simply unworkable to have two sets of parents trying to control this new family. It's wrong for the in-laws and the parents to try and control their newly married son, daughter, son-in-law, daughter-in-law. There's that leaving. So, what about the child who maybe doesn't get married, has become an adult? Do they still have to obey their parents in everything? I don't think so. Because the context here is of children, that is, those who are being raised. There comes a point when they have been raised, when they become adults. Now, I grant that no doubt there will be differences between different cultures as to when adulthood begins, but the point does come when someone is an adult and parents are not to use this command to try and control their adult children. And sadly, it happens. It's interesting. I was chatting with Chinese neighbors and I was commending the Chinese culture, how respectful they are of the elderly. Ah, but they said, typically, parents try and control their adult children. So difficult, isn't it, to get the right balance? So, having said all that, there is the command to honor your parents. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. You see, the command to honor is actually how the Ten Commandments phrase it. Honor your parents. And that is a lifelong responsibility. And we see, for example, Jesus upholding this lifelong command of honoring your parents. You might want to turn to Matthew chapter 15. I'll read a few verses here that illustrate the point of honoring adult children honoring their parents. So Matthew 15, page 981, I'll read the first five verses. "Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat.' Jesus replied, 'And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition, you hypocrites.'" So the situation was something like this. An adult child had needy parents, but rather than give of their money to help their needy parents, they said, "No, no, this money is going to be devoted to God. At some point, I'm going to give it to the temple, and therefore, I won't use it to help my parents in their time of need." And this was something that the Pharisees and teachers of the law had promoted, and Jesus condemns them for it. You're breaking the command. You should not be saying, this is devoted to God, and therefore not honoring your parents and helping them in those practical ways. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4 speaks of children caring for their widowed parents. You see, honoring your parents is something that goes right through your lives. You obey them as a child, but you honor them for life. And it can be a great challenge, knowing how to honor your parents when they're elderly. Maybe the biggest challenge you face will be how to honor your parents when they're elderly. It takes wisdom. It takes a lot of patience. It takes love and care. It takes time. It takes money. But we're to honor our parents. You know, when Jesus was dying on the cross, his disciple John was there, and his mother Mary was there. And Jesus, as the eldest son, had that responsibility to care for his, we presume, widowed mother. And Jesus says to John, pointing to Mary, "Behold your mother." Jesus ensures that Mary is cared for by the Apostle John. And from that day, he took her into his home. The relationship then between parent and child does shift. It shifts as they're growing up, from when they're completely dependent on you as a newborn baby to their teenage years when they don't need to be micromanaged. It shifts, and it's so important that both parent and child understands that shifting dynamic. So important that they understand that when they become adults, that they behave as adults, and that the parents treat them as adults. And that throughout, there is this honoring of their parents that goes right through the parent's life. How you honor your parents will show in the way you speak to them and the way you speak about them. It will show in being ready to involve them in your life. You're hardly honoring your parents if you shut them out of your life. The command to honor your parents means to involve them in your life. Now, I understand that sometimes there are very difficult situations, and sometimes there are abusive relationships, and great wisdom is needed to what extent involvement can continue. But as a general rule, you honor your parents not by shutting them out, but by involving them. And a word to parents. Firstly, when they are children, it is your responsibility to ensure that they obey. How you ensure that will vary from toddlerhood to teenagehood. But it's your responsibility while you are raising your children, while they are children, to ensure that they obey. It's for their own good and for the blessing of the wider community. When they're adults, respect that change, but still be involved in their lives. Don't just sort of drop them and leave them and forget about them. If they're still to honor you, you still be involved with them. Don't try and control their lives, but try and build that relationship that will make it easier for them to honor you. Okay, that's our second point. We've seen, firstly, obey your parents for the right reasons. Obey your parents as a child, honor them for life. And then thirdly, obey your parents in a way that honors them. Obey your parents in a way that honors them. This brings together verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your parent, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise. It's sometimes said that delayed obedience is disobedience. Your parent says, go to bed, and you go to bed 2 hours later, you have not obeyed. We could add that begrudging obedience is really disobedience as well. Or at least, it's not much better than disobedience because it's obedience that fails to honor. If you just do what you're told to do, but with a terrible attitude, you are not honoring your parents. As we'll see next week, parents are not to exasperate their children. So, for example, when they're telling their child to do something, the parent has to be considerate and not just burst in and say, right, do this. You know, that's not the way it works. But however considerate a parent might be, A child will not often want to do what a parent tells them. That is the simple reality. You remember it from your own childhood. You observe it in your own children. Texting is easier than tidying. Even homework is to be preferred to housework. So what are you to do? You don't want to obey. God says, honor your parents. God doesn't just say obey them, he says honor them. Make that obedience your priority. But try from your heart to make it a willing obedience, not a chuntering obedience. Do you use the word chuntering? Yeah. Okay, it's sort of, No. Obey. Start obeying. Now, you may not feel like it, but as you begin, the doing of it can encourage the heart. Start the obedience, and the attitude may follow, should follow, will follow. Maybe you feel that your parents don't understand you. Ever feel that? I'm sure we've all felt it. After all, parents can't read your mind. It's good for you to tell them what's on your mind. How can they understand you if you haven't actually explained what you're thinking, what you're feeling? It's important for them to listen. That's part of them not exasperating. Maybe more about this next week. But you know, even if they still don't understand you, the command is to honor them. It's not honor your father and mother when they understand you. It's honor your father and mother, full stop. They're not always going to understand you. You're not always going to be able to explain exactly what's going on. But even if they don't understand, still honor them in the way in which you obey them. And this is what Jesus did. Turn back to Luke chapter 2. We have one account from the life of Jesus' boyhood. It's very instructive. You remember? They had gone to Jerusalem at the Passover, and Jesus, 12 years of age, obviously they trusted him. He wasn't always with them at the age of 12, and he was with others. And then he went to the temple, and he was talking with the teachers of the law, and they assumed he was with the larger group returning to Nazareth, but he wasn't. He'd stayed there. At the end of the day, Joseph and Mary looking for Jesus, can't find him. He's not with anyone else. And so they go back to Jerusalem to search for him. 3 days they're searching for him, anxiously. And when they find him, he says, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Verse 49. And then verse 50. Even though he's explained, they did not understand what he was saying to them. They didn't understand. Here are parents who didn't understand their child. But what do we read next? Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Even though they didn't understand him, he still obeys. When your parents don't understand you, still obey them. Still honor them. Jesus not only obeyed his father, he honored and pleased his father. What did God say from heaven? This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. What a wonderful thing for a parent to be able to say of their child, I'm so pleased with you. Isn't that wonderful? And isn't that God's purpose for you? That you should be his beloved child with whom he's well pleased? And actually, if you're a Christian, if you've been justified, that is your status. Because God looks on you and sees Jesus. And he says, you're my beloved child. I'm so pleased with you. That's amazing. God looks on you and he sees Jesus in you. And he says, I'm so pleased with you. But, yes, we've been justified. But we are in the process of being sanctified. And that process takes time, takes effort, takes discipline, correction, and encouragement. And actually, in the living of our lives, we are not going to be like Jesus until we see him. We are children of God, but when we see him, we'll be like him. 1 John chapter 3. So we have been justified. God sees us as perfect and beloved and well-pleasing as he sees Jesus. But we're also in the process of becoming like him, being conformed to his image. One day we will be. But that process is underway. And what your parents, albeit imperfectly, are doing is that they are beginning that process of sanctifying you. When they get you to obey, you are beginning the process of sanctification. Because as you bow your will to your parents as children, so it helps you to bow your will to your Heavenly Father. As you learn to obey your parents in a way that honors them, so you will learn to obey God's will with a sincere and willing heart. If you don't obey your parents whom you can see, how will you ever obey God whom you can't see? And this is why it's so important that as parents we ensure our children obey. Because they do not begin life as blank sheets, as morally neutral. They begin life as sinners. They are the children of Adam. They are in rebellion against God. And if they continue in that rebellion against God, they will end up in hell. Teaching them to obey, bringing you up in the training of the Lord, does not, of course, guarantee that they will be saved. But it does help them on the process. And so as you learn to obey your parents with a good attitude, in a way that honors them, you are therefore learning what it means to obey your Heavenly Father in a way that will please him. We've covered a lot of ground today. We've talked about reasons why children should obey. We talked about obeying as a child, but continuing to honor for life. We talked about obeying your parents in a way that honors them, not chuntering. I want us just to pause to reflect. We're all children, as far as I'm aware. Chris doesn't have living parents. But apart from Chris, we all have parents who are still alive. Let's think, how are we honoring them? In our different ways, different responsibilities, let's pause and reflect. Let's pray for God's help to honor our parents.